This lesson is for Sunday morning, April the 14th, 2024. We are looking at lesson number 4 in our series, The True Story of the New Testament, Responding to Christ and His Commission. And the lesson today is entitled, The Church in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. We're going to be on part number 3 today, and we had some technical issues at the beginning of the lesson, but we're going to pick it back up where we were able to get the mics fixed, and I hope the lesson will be a blessing to you today.
Of that early church. Good to see Brother Don back. He's been traveling around the world, all right? Been to Africa or Egypt and then the Philippines, and he's back now. So, you know what time it is? It's time to sleep, right? It's about time to go to bed right now, all right? Good to see you back. But I want you to look at 7 characteristics of that early church, 7 important characteristics that we need to desire in our church today, in our body of believers today. I want us to look at it. 7 important characteristics. I want you to note about these early church believers today, okay? Number 1, look at this. I want you to see those believers had received the pure, unadulterated message of the gospel, and that was the doctrine that they continued to live in. Now, Thursday night, I visited a young man that had moved up here from Virginia. He's been visiting our church and had the opportunity to share with him the message of the gospel, and he got saved. And I told him, I said, now, do you have a Bible? He said, no, I don't have one. I said, well, I've got one here. I'm going to give to you Sunday. I got it with me so I don't forget it, okay? And I thought, you know what? He sent me a note back. And I just want to read a part of this to you. I was so tickled to get this from him. But he sent this note, and let me pull it up here, okay? It said this. He said, good late morning to you, Pastor Shutt. This is Mike Williams. He gave me his name. He said, I wanted to again say thank you for stopping by and taking time to go over the Bible and me getting myself saved. Now, you know, he's a new convert. He didn't save himself, but he was glad that he got saved. He said, you don't find many people that take the time from their schedules to come out and about and talk about the importance of being saved and working together. It's always been the small things that mattered to me, and last night was huge. And you know what? I got to thinking. You know what? It was the Word of God that made the difference in his life Thursday night. It wasn't what I thought. It wasn't what our pastor thought. It was what God said. And it was the Word of God that made the difference. Folks, when these people trusted Christ, the Bible said here, if you'll look in Acts chapter number 2, and I want you to go down here to verse number, let's see here, let me get the right verse here again. Verse number 41. Acts chapter 2, verse number 41. I want you to see something here just a moment. It said, then they that gladly received his word, he preached unto them Jesus. Those folks received the word of God with gladness in their heart. And when they received the word of gladness in their heart, they became obedient unto the word that they had heard preached and taught unto them. Folks, that's the characteristic that we need above all things, is to have the unadulterated Word of God, okay? If you think about it, this is the only book that's been, we use the authorized King James Bible, okay? All right? It's the only one authorized by the King, both physically and spiritually. It's not changed. I listened to some people. They said they were reading the Word of God the other night. I couldn't make head nor tails of it. I didn't have a clue where they were reading from. I couldn't tell you where they were reading from. But you know what? The Word of God was what made the difference in those people's hearts. And when they accepted the Word of God, they accepted it, they received it gladly, and they became obedient unto the Word of God. Number 2, those early church believers had great fellowship together with one another as believers. They didn't have to go out and get drunk. They didn't have to go out to a wild party somewhere. They didn't have to go out and do things that were not right in God's word. But they had fellowship together as believers. Look at this. Verse 42. Look at it. And they continued steadfastly. That means faithfully in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They were able to come together as brothers and sisters in Christ and enjoy the fellowship they had with the Lord God. You know, the psalmist David put it this way in Psalm 133, verse 1. He said, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Amen. And buddy, that's exactly what they did. It was the word of God that made the difference in their life. It was the fellowship that they had together as believers in Christ. That's why I love around here some nights, I see our cleaning crew. They're in our Spanish church here, and they finish up and they come out. And sometimes on Sunday night or Wednesday night, they're sitting there waiting for everybody to leave so that they can finish cleaning up. And you know, it's funny, it's strange that a lot of places you go, there is no fellowship in their churches. As soon as the preacher says, "Okay, let's bow our heads and have invitation," half the church is gone. They're trying to get down to the dinner line or wherever they're going before anybody else gets there. And you know what? To see the fellowship that we have one another here, man, what a blessing. Amen? Number three, I want you to look at this. Those early church believers gladly and willingly obeyed Christ's commandments as taught by the apostles to observe the ordinances of the church given them by the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus taught us to baptize those folks that get saved. Now, I'm not sure we're going to have one today. We had somebody that was going to get baptized today, and they had some health issues, not able to be here today. They're going to get baptized yesterday. Brother V.J. Parekh and I met with them yesterday. And it's a young girl, young teenage girl. And let me say this, especially to all of you that had any kind of part in Living Cross. Let me tell you something today. What you did, whether you put makeup on some of these ugly men, okay, and painted their lips red and their cheeks rosy so that they didn't look pale out on the stage, or if you helped clean costumes or just arrange things, you put up the scene sets or you took them down, you painted, whatever you did, I want you to understand something. I asked this young lady yesterday, 15 years of age, I asked her, I said, "So why are you wanting to get baptized?" And she said, "Well, you know, I've not been living for the Lord as I ought to." And she said, "I came to Living Cross, and I think it was Tuesday night. I think it was Tuesday night," she said. And she said, "As I watched them," she said, "I've been here for Living Crosses before, and I've seen it. It didn't really matter. I didn't think about it. But as I watched them beating Jesus and him coming up on the stage and him hanging on the cross," she said, "I realized it was like somebody spoke to me and said, it was for you I did this." And she said, "You know, I told everybody that I was saved and all this stuff," but she said, "That night I asked the Lord to forgive me and come in my heart, and I really meant it." And she said, "Now I need to be living for him." Now listen to me. The Spirit of God spoke to her heart about that. She had been listening to Pastor Josh teaching the bus teens and preaching even on Wednesday nights and things like that, riding on one of the buses to church. But it finally dawned on her what Jesus did for her. And folks, listen to this. Those early church believers, they gladly and they willingly obeyed the commandments of God when they realized that what he did for them. Folks, that's what revival is. We come to that point in our lives when we realize All that we do, all that we are able to do, is because of what He did for us. They followed in the Lord's ordinances of the church. He gave us two. One was the Lord's Supper, where we remember what Christ did for us. The bread, the unleavened bread that is broken in remembrance of Him. The fruit of the vine that is given in remembrance of the blood that He shed. He said, "This do ye in remembrance of me." Never forget what Christ did. That baptism, and as I explained to her about what baptism was all about and what it meant, when you're standing there in that water, you're representing how that you're saying to the folks, you're putting on that spiritual wedding band, so to speak, to let everybody know that Jesus died for me. We dunk Him down under that water. He was buried for me. We raise Him up out of that water after 3 days and three nights. And she looked at me real funny. I said, "No, we don't really do it that long, okay?" But we bring you back up out of that water to remind you that He not only died and was buried, but He arose again to give you everlasting life and victory over sin. And her face just lit up. These folks remembered what Christ did for them. Number four, those early church believers prayed together. They prayed together. You know what? It wouldn't hurt us. Maybe I need to mention this to Pastor. And maybe this next week or so, or a couple nights the week of a revival, before the revival, maybe we just need to have some time again where we come together and we humble ourselves and we pray. And we seek His face and ask the Lord to bring revival in our hearts. Amen. These folks prayed together. Look at it again in verse 42. They came together. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. Pray for one another. Listen, that's why we have the prayer list we give out to you every week. So you can take time to pray. But you know what? It's not going to hurt anything to get with your brothers or sisters in Christ and say, "Hey, let's just go and pray about this today. Let's pray about this thing." Number five, those early church believers shared their material goods through Christ's love with others, even as Christ had blessed and shared His love with them. Amen. They looked upon the needs of others. You folks have done that time and time again with different people in our class. Even with me when I was sick and was out for a while. Man, you folks did that for me. We've tried to help one another in time of need. Why? Because that's what Christ did for us. And they had a concern. They had a compassion one for another. Number six, those early church believers demonstrated. They put into action both publicly and privately a true and genuine Christ-like love and attitude of unity. They had an attitude of unity among the brethren by being faithful and continuing daily with one accord. Now I want you to go down to verse 46, Acts chapter 2, verses 46 and 47. And they, continuing daily, not weekly, not monthly, but daily. You know what it's saying here? The scripture is saying this was a way of living for them. They continued daily with one accord in the temple. We have folks that can't believe we have service on Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday morning preaching, Sunday night service. We come back on Wednesday night, and we have all the other activities going on each day during the week for our church. Folks can't understand that because they go to churches where they only have maybe one service on Sunday morning and that's it. These folks met daily in one accord. Now, that's not one Honda, okay? All right? That's one accord. They were in unity one with another. They came together in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Look at this. Praising God and having favor with all the people. Not just certain crowd. Not just this little clique or that little clique. Amen. But with all the people. And when they did what they were supposed to do, number seven, they got to see the hand of God do what He wanted to do. And look what it said. Those early church believers saw the hand of God working and empowering them to be soul winners, even as Christ had saved them to be. Look at the last part of verse number 47. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You know what happened? When they did what they were supposed to do for the Lord, God said, bless their little hearts, I'm going to bless them. And people got saved. We hear about people getting saved through the Super 60s, their visitings on Mondays. We hear about it on Tuesdays. Man, I'm teaching the soul winning class on Tuesday night through Zoom. And I got folks all the way from New York, all the way down to South Carolina and Georgia area, wanting to learn how to become soul winners for Jesus. We have it here on Wednesday nights. And we have the teens going out on Wednesday afternoons after school and telling folks about Jesus. Thursday nights, we got folks going out, both before our dinner and even after our dinner, and winning people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our bus workers are going out on Fridays and Saturdays and trying to tell people about Jesus. And we're seeing people get saved. And listen, when the Lord saw that they were doing what they were supposed to be doing, God said, I'm going to bless that. I'm going to bless that. And the Lord added daily to that church such as should be saved. You know what? When God's working, that's what you want to see. Amen? You want to see. And I just pray that we would be what God wants us to be. Listen to me today. I want to ask you this question. What kind of church would my church be if every other Christian were just like me? Now you ask yourself that question today. Would they be disgruntled all the time? Would they be fussing about this person or that person? I don't like that one. I don't like this one. Or, man, that preacher preaches too long. Or he said the same thing 20 times. He's getting old. He forgets things. All right? You pray for him, okay? All right? Amen. Hey, listen. He may say the same thing, but he's still telling the truth. Amen? And you know what? Whether he does or doesn't, his desire is to increase your heart's desire for the Word of God. Listen, that's my desire today. I want to teach you the Word of God so that it will put a hunger in your soul. And I found myself as I was studying through this lesson, and I asked myself that question. What kind of church would my church be if every other Christian were just like me? Man, that's something to think about. I want you to turn over to Mark chapter 16 just a minute. Turn back to the book of Mark, chapter number 16. And in Mark chapter 16, I want you to look at verse number 20. We're going to see something here that reminds us how that they humbly received the Word of God. They willingly obeyed the Word of God. They lovingly continued in the Word of God. They continued faithfully in fellowship one with another. And they obediently continued to tell others of God's great love for them. Look at verse 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere. Two words, everywhere, every place. And confirming the words with signs following. Amen. Now, you got to remember, God used these signs in the early church. They didn't have the written Word of God like you and I have today. And God used signs to help those unbelieving Jews to believe that the Old Testament promised Messiah had indeed come and done exactly what he said he was going to do. And God used those things to prove to the people that God's love for them truly was real. And folks, they continued daily in the Word of God. You and I have the Word of God. We even know how the story's going to end. And yet, you know what we do so many times? We neglect it. We forget about it. And we don't go and do what we need to go and do. And folks, I want to encourage you. Listen, we need these seven characteristics in our hearts and our lives, in our church body, so that we might be what God wants us to be and be used of God in the manner in which God wants to use us. Now, I want you to look at something today. I want you to see the church witnesses here, how the church witnesses in Jerusalem. And I'm going to try to get through this. I've got about 14 minutes. You remember in Acts chapter 1, go back to Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. And Jesus told them, he said, you're to be witnesses unto me, beginning right here in Jerusalem, right where you live. And they took that message to every person, not just a certain few, but they took it to every person. They had a concern for the lost, no matter who they were. And I want you to look here. As we look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said, you're going to be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem. Go over now to Acts chapter number 3. And the Bible said here, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. That was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. That's what the world does today. They're looking for something. Now, they think they need money. They think they need fancy clothes. They think they need a nice apartment. They're looking at all the things they think they need. But what they really need is Jesus. And look at this. He looked at him expecting to receive something. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Amen. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Now, folks, listen to me today. This man thought that he needed one thing, but he came to receive something else. Now, God had given the power to them to raise those that were sick as a sign to people to say, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm doing this. But it was a tool to be able to help them to come to see Christ Jesus as their Savior. And you know what? I know in our soul winning classes, Brother Stainer would always teach us. He would tell us, he'd say, you need to take the gospel to the least, the last, and the lost. And that's what they did here. We don't need to be selective about who we take the gospel to. And you know what? I'm glad that somebody, and I told this young girl yesterday, I'm glad that somebody came by my house with a Sunday school bus and visited my house for probably close to a year or so before my parents let them pick me up and take me to church on that bus. And then I rode it for another 3, 4, 5 years before I saw my need to be saved. But I got saved because somebody cared for me. This man came to know Christ because those disciples took time to love him, to help him with some physical needs that he had. And you know what? Listen to me. Look at verse number 13. This whole incident ended up with Peter and John being mocked and ridiculed and even persecuted for their faith. But it also ended up with thousands more people coming to know Christ Jesus as their Savior. Listen to me today. You're going to have some persecution. Jesus said, "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." John 16, 33, I believe it is. Be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. And when those few ridiculed and mocked and persecuted them, thousands more came to trust Christ as their Savior. Why? Look down at verse number 13. The Bible said, "Now when they saw the boldness," chapter 4, verse 13. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." Peter and John took no credit for this man being able to walk again. But you know what they did? They gave God all the glory and the praise and the honor. It's not like you see today in our world, is it? You know, they can't have nobody can be healed or anything unless Benny Hinn comes in and you pay him all these monies and things like that. It's amazing. They never go to the hospitals. They never go to the areas of people's homes where they're dying with cancer and trying to raise up any of them. But they can have these fake miracles on TV and get their monies for it. Peter and John, they said, "Man, we got no money to give you." That's how I know they were Baptist preachers, amen? They didn't have any money. But you know what? They said, "What we do have, we're going to give unto you." And they told them about Jesus. And when the religious crowd came to them and mocked them and persecuted them and told them, "Don't you be preaching in this name." What name was it? The name of Jesus. "Don't you be preaching anymore." They took note of these men. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And folks, I'm going to be honest with you. When I read that passage, I thought to myself, can folks take note of me, that I have been with Jesus? Can anybody take note of me, that I've been with Jesus? That's what we need today, folks. They need to see Jesus in our lives. They need to see His love and His concern. Look at this. I want you to see the love and concern that Barnabas had. Those early church believers had a love for the lost, but they also had a love for new converts. Everybody loves new babies, don't they? Everybody loves them until they cry and they wet themselves and things like that. But you know what? A new convert, sometimes they have to be changed. Sometimes they have to get the milk of the word, okay, so that they can grow thereby. And a lot of times we like to win them, but we don't like to try to train them up in the ways that they should go. You know what? That's what these folks did. They taught them how to live for Christ. People will come back and they'll say, "Well, preacher, I'm going to give you this name. You need to follow up on them." I try to follow up on a lot of people. Yesterday, man, Friday, I was all the way up. I preached a funeral in Hagerstown and was glad to be able to do that. And I went all the way up to New Oxford to visit folks and be there. And then Friday nights are coming back. I had a phone call and asked me to try to help somebody. I called them and talked to them a little bit and tried to help them. Listen to me. There are people hurting everywhere. There are people that need Jesus everywhere. And the pastor can't get them all. I can't get them all. But if we all work together, we can get a bunch of them. And listen, look, I want you to look at chapter 4, verses 36 and 37. The Bible said, and Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. He said, I want you to take whatever I've got and use it for the Lord. He had the attitude of giving of himself unto the Lord. Now, let me show you why that's so important. Go over to Acts chapter 9 just a moment. This is the chapter where we read about the Apostle Paul coming to know Christ as his Savior. Okay? And in Acts chapter 9, we have Ananias being told by God to go to Paul, to Saul of Tarsus. And Ananias is scared to death to go. He said, Lord, I don't know if you've heard, but this man, he's got papers to have Christians put to death. And God said, no, Ananias, honey, don't you worry about that. You just go and do what I've told you to do, because he's a chosen vessel unto me. And I'm going to show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, I want you to go down to verse number 22. And in verse 22, the Bible said, but Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying in wait was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. Now think about this. The man that God chose to give us 13 different books in the New Testament, and the church is afraid of him because they knew what he had done in the past. They dwelt on his past. And folks, let me remind you something. All of us have a past. Before we were saved, before we were covered by the blood, we all got a past. But now he's been chosen. He was saved. He's been chosen of God to give out the gospel. And the brothers, they're scared of him. And I can understand that. I'd be a little scared too if somebody were coming to your house and say, hey, you going to that church down there? Yeah. Arrest him. Put him in jail. And they put him to death. Paul did that. Saul of Tarsus did that. The Bible said they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But look at verse 27. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how that he preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians. But they had gone about, or they went about to slay him. Which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. And look at this. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Amen? Amen. That happened because this man Barnabas, one man, said, you know what? I'll work with him. I've seen what God's done in his life so far, and I think God can use him. And he persuaded the brethren to trust Paul. And you know what? God used Paul in a great way. We see all the different ways of love and concern that was given for this church family. But folks, listen, it was happening on individual basis. And folks, that's what we need today. We need revival on an individual basis, do we not? I need it today. I'm praying. Listen, we got revival service Sunday morning, coming up Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night. And I'm thinking to myself, Lord, why do I need revival? Because our world is lost, and they need a Savior. And I need to reach all the ones I can reach, and you need to reach all the ones that you can reach, just like this early church did. Listen to me, folks. If this church had not done what they did for Christ, you and I would not have the gospel today. And I keep thinking to myself, I don't know when the Lord is coming back. We can see the signs of His coming, but we still don't know when He's coming back. But what if He doesn't come for another generation? You know what? I still need to try to reach this generation with the message of the gospel. Because this generation might just be able to reach the next generation if somebody will first reach them. Let's reach the least, the last, and the lost with the message of the gospel today. Amen. We'll pick up on the lesson. We'll finalize it next Sunday. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, I love you. And Lord, I do thank you so much, God, for reaching down one day and saving these men. And Lord, they saw you crucified. They heard about the story of your crucifixion. Many of them came to know Christ as their Savior. And they stayed faithful at doing what they should have been doing. And Lord, because of their faithfulness, I'm able to be in church today. These folks in our Sunday school class are able to be in church today because these folks were faithful. Oh God, help us today to be found faithful in all that we do for you. Help us to be the church that you would have us to be, the body of believers, God, that you would have us to be. And Lord, use us in a great and mighty way to reach those that are lost. And God, we'll thank you for what you do. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for being in Sunday school, okay?